intro for the shirt jacket.
You can just put, say, this edition is brought to you by shirt jacket.
Yeah.
All right,
Geeks of the Square Table brought to you by the shirt jacket.
The shirt jacket.
The shirt jacket.
Shag it.
Shag it.
I just want to say shag it all the time because I love, you like shirts, you like jackets. Well, here's the new.
You don't have to
shag
choose.
It.
You don't have to choose anymore.
Shag it. You know, when my buddy
you could
shows
just
me
get a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
What is it though? What's the premise?
It's basically a flannel with like extra pockets
and a zipper instead of buttons.
No, some of them have buttons.
Oh.
And I saw them. I was like, that's
well,
just
that's
like a flannel.
You got important meetings to go to.
I was like, yeah. Big freaking deal. What? Seattle selling new clothes?
The '90s, man. I
had jacket. It's a new word for an old shirt.
Yeah. You remember that shirt you wore at the Nirvana concert? Well, now you can wear it outside and call it a shagget.
Dude, in the 90s, I had a
the
flannel.
The shagget promoter, that would be
Jeff
Jules.
Like every day.
Dude,
we
I had a flannel
Gummer,
for every day.
We got myself, Larry, and Tyler with us today.
Taylor.
We also have Taylor.
Oh! I want to call you Tyler.
I don't know.
Do I know it? Even know a Tyler?
Do you know a Tyler? We've never had a Tyler on the show.
I don't know one here.
None of us know a Tyler.
This would be easier for him to change his name to Tyler.
Yeah. You just lose a letter and then you gain a letter. And then you lose another letter.
Yeah. Wait, it's a whole different name, dude.
It's a whole other game. It's a whole other word. It's a whole other word.
Yeah.
But,
it's, and special guest Steve and James.
This also just happens to be Geeks of the Square Table.
Geeks of the Square Table.
It's also a Shacket 15.
Number 15.
It's also a Shacket infomercial.
Yeah.
Son of Maddie.
We're in Madison, Tennessee.
Recording live.
Recording live.
Oh, we already
at Comic City. Oh, yeah, we started like 2 minutes
ago. Oh, wow.
Ago. Yeah. I really wanted to build in the Shacket. I wanted to sew in the Shacket into the podcast.
Do you want to work the sweater pants in there as well?
Yeah.
No, we're getting sweater pants.
Because I'm not sure if I'm old enough or young enough to pull off sweater pants.
This is all on like thinkgeek.com.
But I'm not sure. Really, you got to be old
I'm not sure where you can get sweater pants. But
that's
sweater,
like what my grandmother would wear.
No, you might be. No, they're with the young crowd.
Really?
Yes.
What, sweater pants?
Sweater pants.
God, this young crowd sucks.
They do.
They're like 90 years old and they don't know it.
I had considered myself part of the young crowd, but I guess
you're
I'm
wrong,
not.
Taylor. Yes. You're wrong.
We're not. You're not.
You're wrong.
We don't wear loafers in public. They wear loafers in public. Like, but I'm not saying just loafers. I mean, like, they go out to a club or in their evening wear, they wear loafers.
You know, something that made me feel really old a few weeks ago, some of my friends, we were having dinner, they were talking about excited they were, they found a good sale on Argyle socks.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what Argyle is in. And I'm just,
yeah.
What, did we, we're all 70 now? What happened?
Yeah, really.
What went on?
Yeah, we're the first generation that's going to be, I forget, I heard some comedians say it, but it's true. We're going to be the first generation that looked at the young kids. Back in my days, we had real drugs. We had fun. Yeah. We didn't always wear the seatbelt.
Yeah. I could get my drugs at school.
Yeah.
And do them in between classes. Yeah. Now you've got officers there. Yeah.
I felt old the other day when I realized that Nirvana was eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They made it in, didn't they?
Yeah. 25 years.
First,
that's all it has to be.
They're the first record. First time they could be in, they made it in.
First ballot.
Eddie Trunk was going off on that the other day on the radio.
Oh, really? That it wasn't a good idea?
No, because Kiss waited 15 years to get in.
Yeah.
And Nirvana goes in on the first try. He said they would have put Nirvana in sooner if they could have.
Yeah.
They love those when somebody dies things. They love them.
Yeah. Well, and not only that definitely
Nirvana started
deserves it. It's not like this is
a moment in history that changed music forever.
Yes.
And not to mention, had a guy that was so dedicated to his art that he couldn't stand to see it be commercialized.
Yes, exactly.
So before they sold out, he ended himself. And I'm not advocating suicide or anything.
Of course not. But he was definitely not.
But
it wasn't just that. He was a troubled guy.
There was never a he had a lot of other issues. There was never a chance for it to get tainted.
Exactly.
But the biggest thing,
we didn't see the Nirvana lunch boxes. We didn't see the Nirvana family jewels. We didn't see the Nirvana action figures.
Don't bring me into this. It has nothing to do with Gene Simmons and his children.
But you still got to think, people like Rush waited all that time.
Yep.
People like Deep Purple still hasn't made it in.
Yeah.
UFO. Well, all these bands that are.
I'm not saying that those aren't oversights. I'm saying that we shouldn't
penalize
Nirvana because.
Now, okay. I didn't.
That these other people didn't go in as fast.
All right. Deep Purple. Okay.
They deserve it.
They're a good band.
Judas Priest deserves to be there.
Oh, yeah.
There wouldn't be heavy metal if there is today without Judas Priest.
I like them. But at the same time, my grandmother knows who Kurt Cobain is.
Yeah.
She doesn't know who Deep Purple is.
I bet if you played like Perfect Stranger or Smoke on the Water,
she would know. Exactly. Yeah.
Why does she know Nirvana over those?
That's like
that's what I was going
to use. But everyone also remembers Heart-Shaped Box music video. It was one of the first music videos we ever had like banned on every channel.
Exactly.
Really? I don't remember ever being banned. I saw it all the time.
No, yeah. It got lot of trouble because of the little girl in the KKK outfit, Santa Claus being on the cross.
They definitely redid it.
Yeah, they had to recut a lot of the original video you've never seen. Yeah,
there's an original video out there with Black Hole Sun as well.
Yeah.
They changed
that video was really fucked up.
Not to mention Nevermind caught all kinds of flack because it had the naked baby. Kids were getting banned from school for wearing.
Yeah, they put the parental advisory was on the baby penis.
But I think
the best thing is though when the Sex Pistols got voted in, none of them went.
None of them went.
See, well, that's exactly what they would do though. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Nirvana getting in on first ballot, I think, comes back to when they came out, the impact that they had overall on the entire '80s music scene. The '80s had really
came out in the
not 90s. Even just
I'm talking about '89. Bleach came out '89.
Yeah. Them and Pearl Jam basically killed. Yeah.
Exactly. They changed everything. They changed everything.
Yeah.
In the '80s, and the thing about it is, everyone remembers that dramatic change.
Well, that's all
because of the way media.
It's still only been 15 years.
But it's because of the way media expanded. So much to where, their last album was 15 years later.
It was shared more.
Exactly.
That was the height of MTV.
Exactly.
It wasn't just the height.
MTV was on its way down after Nirvana became hot.
Yeah.
And then it became digital.
They did everything the MTV.
And then everything went digital.
I mean, Napster.
Yes.
You can argue about Nirvana.
It was definitely a time period.
The mid-90s was music was the most. The most out there that it had ever been.
Exactly.
Well, the thing is, too, you know, Metallica makes it in before, like, a group like Kiss.
Yeah. So,
well, Kiss...
Metallica is, like, the ore example of a metal band.
Kiss went through four different iterations.
Is Metallica just trying to stay relevant?
Well, not anymore. I mean, back in the 90s, though, they were.
But Kiss did that. They stayed relevant all those years.
But they weren't anything new.
No, but see...
They never tried anything new.
They should have been in...
Kiss became a show.
Well, Kiss should have been... They were eligible 25
Kiss was
years
more
ago.
Of a stage show than a musical show.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not taking anything away from it, but if it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
like
the videos and your concerts you had shouldn't matter. It should be the music that matters.
I mean, Kurt Cobain was a big Kiss fan.
Yeah,
he's getting to go in. They're going in the same year that Kiss finally gets voted in.
Well, you're talking about these bands like Nirvana, like Metallica.
Kurt Cobain was quoted as saying he was a huge Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
And he didn't consider himself famous until he got asked to be parodied by Weird Al.
That's when you know you've made it, when Weird Al parodies.
Exactly.
But these bands like Nirvana, like Metallica, they kind of transcend their own genre.
Agreed.
They become pop culture icons. Everyone on Earth knows who these groups are.
What genre is Kiss in? It depends on what decade you look at their music.
Regular rock and roll.
No, they had,
honestly, when it comes to Kiss, there's like one or two songs that I can tell you I know they sing.
Yeah.
And there's probably several that if I heard I would recognize.
Yeah.
But
Kiss had two disco albums, dude.
Hey.
But they only had disco songs. But they only had disco songs. They only had those albums.
Dynasty, dude. Dynasty. Yeah. No, but what I'm going to say is...
Roller skates out and roller skate around the room.
I'm really glad we're having this conversation about Jesse, because Jesse is A, bigger than all of us, and is the biggest Kiss fan I've ever met.
And I'm not taking anything...
And he will rip us to shreds when he hears this part of the podcast.
I'm not taking anything away from Kiss.
Nothing good will come from you shit-talking Kiss.
I'm not shit-talking Kiss.
Changed their style a lot. Years. But that's the only way they
Speaking
can stay
Speaking of
relevant.
Changing style, apparently
but you look at anybody who's been around that
Michael
long,
Bolton
have,
started off as like a hard metal guy.
Here's a question. Yeah. Bands like Kiss, they stay relevant. Mm-hmm. How long would Nirvana have lasted?
I don't think Nirvana would have lasted.
Hey, man, the Foo Fighters are still relevant.
But see, Foo Fighters is a different type of music than Nirvana.
Perhaps.
Not a huge
It's hard to know. What I'm saying is Kiss was only relevant because they changed their style to meet with the demand of the current music market. They changed, and I'm not taking anything away that they sold out. They sold out, and the best part about getting selling out is
making money.
And Kiss has made plenty.
Kiss first came out,
but Nirvana
they invented that style.
Well, Nirvana.
I mean, Kiss sold out anymore. We'd call him George Lucas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Nirvana didn't do that. Nirvana set the tone for every album they did. Every album they did was different.
Kiss the Clone
than what was currently going on.
I'm sure Gene Simmons is all over that.
Yeah. I know of who ever stopped at the very top without killing themselves, and that's the Police.
Oh, definitely.
But
that's because they didn't get along with each other anymore.
They didn't get along.
Nobody liked Sting.
They would have killed themselves.
They split up. There's a difference.
Agreed.
A lot of groups do that.
Rush has had off.
At the top.
Well, Rush has had.
They were at the top when Sting left the group.
Agreed.
And they broke up.
Agreed.
They were the number one.
Because Sting thought he could take it.
Yeah.
And he did.
Everything.
Well, he did.
I would argue that the Beatles were still pretty highly relevant when they broke
up. The Beatles, too.
Yeah.
Maybe not at the top of their game, but still, you know, bigger than almost anyone else.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of bands break up when they're at the top of the game because one person thinks they can lead the group.
Exactly.
And what happens is either they're right and we recognize that one person, or they're horrible and 5 years later they get back together.
Exactly. Sammy Hagar, Van Halen.
Fergie and Gwen Stefani.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. Well, Gwen Stefani had successful albums.
Right, she did. Yeah. And then but eventually the rest of them were like, okay, well now. Yeah. So pretty much No Doubt became the Gwen Stefani follow band.
But I will say bands, for instance, like Rush.
Rush.
Did not break up when they're at the peak. They took breaks, and they're still coming out with albums.
Rush
and their last album was awesome.
Rush is the same as they were when they first started.
Agreed. Agreed.
But, you know, I'd like to see Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, some of those bands in there.
No,
but you'll never see
them. No one's talking about, speaking of Nirvana, who I thought over Nirvana, and Nirvana would never exist without this band, is the Melvins.
Oh, yeah.
Very true.
Big Kiss fans. Several Kiss.
Didn't he work on stage with, in the back, as a technician for the Melvins?
Yeah, no, their first drummer is Dale Crover, which is the Melvins drummer.
Yeah. So I think Kurt Cobain used to work.
Yeah, he used to do tech work. He used to do tech work for the Melvins.
Melvins are still good.
They're still awesome. I love the Melvins.
I play them on the heavy metal station on the radio.
But they introduced Kurt Cobain
to Dave Grohl. They introduced Kurt Cobain to Chris Novoselic. They were, King Buzzo and Dale Crover were friends with everybody and introduce them to each other and say, hey guys, you should jam. In fact, you can use our practice space.
Yeah.
But just because they helped inspire, that'd be like saying that we should put, you know, Gary Gygax's mom and dad.
But the Melvins are all right.
I'm not saying the Melvins should be in the Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
But, you know, you got to recognize Kiss has to. Rush has to.
I think Nirvana gets in on first ballot simply because the notoriety of the band.
Well, absolutely.
And
the reason,
that coupled.
The reason they're getting in on first ballot is because people are going to pay money to come.
Exactly. People are going to buy their stuff again on iTunes all that.
You know, Kiss.
But they also changed everything.
Yeah, Kiss
and they're well known as recently changing everything, which makes them more important.
Kiss and Nirvana, you know, they'll sell the tickets while everybody else that gets voted in.
Yeah.
You won't even know who they are.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like you said. We'll never know if they would have made it without him.
No.
You know, listen to their music now.
Doing what
I mean, it's good, but I don't think it would have survived past mid-90s.
Right.
Well, the albums that came out after that, though, they had.
He would have.
David Grohl still put out
his list. I think Dave Grohl surpassed him.
I don't think he was actually at the top of what. I mean, if you look like the Unplugged album, which was his last album.
Amazing album.
Yeah, which was even a show, you know.
You can see death on him in that.
Right, you can really see the despair.
He's so unenthused.
And the passion in his voice, though, just the emotion, not passion, the emotion is what you can tell, man.
If he would have got one more album, I think that would have been, the next album would have been The Pink. And then they would have had to come down because I don't think he would have. If he would have survived through it, I don't think he would have been physically able to keep up.
We would have had a Lane Staley or a Allison Chain sort of deal.
Right. He might have stepped away and somebody else may have taken up the lead singer.
Well,
you know, Van Halen, whatever.
You know, I had Pearl Jam's 10.
That wouldn't have not been.
Pearl Jam's 10 is a much better album, I think, than Nevermind.
I totally agree.
Musically, I thought it was a. I told somebody once, I said, Pearl Jam will never top this album.
And I think Alice in Chains from...
The funny thing about Pearl Jam's 10 is it's one of those albums that, like, everybody has.
Yeah.
But it's a great album.
It's a great album.
Musically, it's a much better album
than Nevermind. But they never topped it. And as good as Nevermind was, In Utero is way better. Way better album.
But Alice in Chains...
I think Dave Grohl was more involved in writing it.
Honestly,
he was.
Me, the two quintessential Nirvana albums are Unplugged and Live from the Muddy Banks of the Wichita.
Yes.
If you want to listen to the Nirvana, those two albums, I tell people, yes, their albums are good, but those two CDs sum up Nirvana to me.
Unplugged is in my top five albums of all time.
I was just going to say, his cover of The Man Who Sold the World, you feel like that's him saying, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
It's so good.
But I was going to say, from that...
Lake of Fire is a cover, too.
Yeah, Meat Puppets. Yeah. They do three Meat Puppets covers on that.
But from that era, I mean, Nirvana definitely gets all the praise. Pearl Jam had all the musicality. But I think Alice in Chains is the most listened to.
Yeah,
still out of all that.
Alice in Chains music transcends from then to today.
I think so, too, easily.
And, you know,
as a quintessential metal album.
You can tell.
Well, and here's another thing. Alice in Chains, Lane Staley passed or whatever.
Yes.
And here...
It's a great loss for me. Almost as much as Dimebag Darrell, man.
Their new lead singer, I think, sounds damn close to Lane Staley. Amazingly so.
You got to remember... what's his name? Jerry Cantrell sings a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
did.
Yeah, and he was all the music, right?
He's all the melody. Lane was all the screaming.
So I definitely think they're as good. And
their new
they
stuff
will get,
is good, too.
I love it. I love it. But their stuff back then, nothing beats that, I think, as far as comparing it. If I was on a desert island, someone said you could take Pearl Jam 10, or Nevermind, or Dirt, I'm taking Dirt every time.
Facelift.
Or any of those Alice in Chains over... Those great albums still from the 90s.
Mm-hmm. See, Grind was my favorite.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should start transitioning away.
Yeah. Awkward transition.
As a bottom line, though.
90-degree turn.
Oh, speaking of awkward segues, do you know the guy who invented the Segway died on a Segway?
Yeah. That's why they tell you to wear a helmet on Segways now.
He was drunk and fell and drowned.
I heard he fell off of the road, like, in California into, like, a ravine, and they didn't find him for 4 days.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, he didn't die. Like, all of a sudden, he was down there with, like, a broken neck for like 3 days.
That's
right.
Poor guy.
Because
poor guy.
He couldn't move.
I guess you shouldn't get on
Segway. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's why you should never drunken Segway.
Yeah. But
just don't Segway, okay? Walk your lazy ass.
They say that what killed the Segway is the fact that most places banned it from the sidewalk.
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't segue, guys. Taylor, you wanted the awkward segue, though. Go ahead.
Taylor's got something for us, guys. He's got a great shirt on.
Taylor always has
the best shirt.
He has
where do you get these
He has things? A Sesame Street themed shirt that says the Sesame Six, and it's the first cover of FF, and it's amazing.
Right. He's also wearing a jacket.
Too. Blue's Frozen Banana.
Yeah, the Blue's Frozen Banana stand.
Oh, nice.
Big
nice.
Yellow joint.
There's some good shirts.
Big though. Yellow
Except
joint.
Except for Jules.
Except for me.
He's Jules got sucks. Puma. He looks like a jock.
Fuck you.
You do.
I like sports.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to be attached to Sandman, maybe?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. He wants to direct and or star and or do both.
Both.
I would like him to do both.
Just like there's also talks of Paul Rudd really wanting to be Ant-Man.
I keep hearing that
and
more.
I can see that. I know what? I think he'd be a great Ant-Man.
It would be a different type of superhero movie. I don't see him as like an action star.
Well, that's the thing. Edgar Wright says he wants it to be a different type of superhero.
That's okay. I mean, we've gotten to the point where, we can kind of branch out with superhero genres.
I think Paul Rudd could pull off the geek.
Yeah.
Geek. Is he going to be Eric O'Grady? Is he going to be...
All three are going to be in it, but who's he going to be?
You know, I think he'll play Hank.
I think he'd make
Hank's
a great
in the 60s.
Eric
I
O'Grady,
the Wasp,
but
and then you'll have Eric and Scott
Hank.
In the present time.
Yeah. My only issue with Joseph Gordon-Levitt acting and directing in Sandman is that's such a loved property.
Yeah,
agreed.
Yeah. That's a
you
lot.
Know,
of
and if he were to have like in his other projects, he's been like the main character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and stuff that he's wrote and directed. I don't know if you could. Do it correctly as much CG and stuff there's going to be in this project.
You don't think he's up to it with all the CG?
I just don't know if it's something that's humanly possible to do justice being the main star of something that big and still directing.
Are you afraid that his directorial experience isn't enough to handle?
Well, I mean, I really like Brick. I don't know. Brick and his other stuff, and I really like him as an actor.
Yes, me too.
Now, I don't know how much of a fan he is of the subject.
I'm sure he is if he's this hardcore.
I think he said he's a big fan. Taking another step back, though, I'm not necessarily worried about the casting, directing, production. I would rather see it as a TV show. I'll just say that for the record.
Agreed. Totally agreed. I had a discussion with this just the other day.
All comics seem to be better set up to do TV shows or miniseries.
Especially if you're adapting the actual stories.
Yeah.
Just because that's the nature of both.
And you know, if it was a Netflix series of movies, would be episodes.
Oh, man, it'd be amazingly good.
The other thing, too, you got to think about, you're not just pulling the comic book reader crowd. Everyone forgets, Sandman won literary awards. It's the only comic book to win the Carnegie Medal for a short story.
Let me stop you there. I have seen lots of top lists of novels of all time. Yeah. Watchmen is always on.
Watchmen's up there. Mouse is always up there.
But the best ones have Sandman on there. The best ones have Sandman. The ones I agree with more have Sandman on there.
Sandman has a profound understanding of storytelling. It's a book about the Prince of Stories.
Now, Sandman and Watchmen are almost always on there.
And Mouse.
Sin City's been on a lot of them.
300's working its way in.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see Dark Knight Returns.
Now that the movie Sin City came out, it's made its way to a lot more top novels. And I think part of that, people are realizing graphic novels are a legitimate way of storytelling.
Like we've known forever.
The argument I would make is like, if you're going to judge the entire storytelling medium off of, Dazzler or something, that's the example.
That's the example Alan Moore likes to use. Yes.
But, that'd be like saying every movie is shit because of the
Inspector Gadget.
Gadget or something.
There you go.
Poor
Matthew Broderick, because I was going to say Godzilla.
That was awful.
Hey, it's okay. He gave us Ferris Bueller.
Boom! He gave us Ferris Bueller. Has anyone heard...
Project X. With the monkeys?
The Ferris Bueller theory that he's actually another personality of... what's his name? The other character in that movie.
Oh, that it's his buddy who's got the car and his dad.
Yeah, that it's,
oh, that he's both of them?
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, no, that Ferris is just who he wants to be.
Oh, that's
Ferris
brilliant.
Ferris only ever really addresses him.
Yeah.
And his family talks to Ferris or whatever, but it's really
And
him.
Even when he goes to pick up his girlfriend.
Because you never see his family.
Yeah.
You never see what's
And
his
even
name.
When Ferris goes to pick up his girlfriend, dude's still in the back seat. Oh, that's
she
brilliant.
She talks to him a lot when she has intimate moments, but when she wants to be, like, slutty with it, she talks to Ferris.
Yeah. One more thing about Sandman, what I took from the...
Throwing that out there.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Oh, my mind.
Go ahead, Larry.
That's
go ahead. Sorry.
That's a great theory, but I think that's a classic example of people overanalyzing
that is probably true.
I like the Toy Story.
But it's
theory.
Also, you know,
Toy Story theory
the
is so stupid.
An absurdist theory.
Yeah.
Because I love the Pixar theory.
The whole movie was written as an absurdist. It's a ridiculous, could never happen.
Exactly.
It was written as an absurdist piece of literature that happened to be made into a movie. The guy who wrote the movie never thought they would make it.
Yeah.
He wrote it as a piece, as an absurdist play that got to be made into an 80s iconic
movie. That's awesome.
Love that movie. Back on Sandman.
One last comment I had. What I took from the press release from Deadline, I think is where I read it. It said they want Joseph Gordon-Levitt to star and direct. They want David Goyer to produce.
Yeah.
And they're like, they were still looking for a writer, which I thought was the most hilarious thing I've ever read. When you're looking for a writer for a Sandman movie,
I feel like the writer should be the first.
You go to Neil Gaiman. Exactly. Neil Gaiman. Give me a break, dude.
Isn't he? He's still alive.
Exactly.
I'm sure he would love to write it.
No, it's not like he writes just comics. He writes novels. He writes. He does write screenplays.
But, dude, his Stardust. He wrote the Stardust screenplay, didn't he? I love that movie.
He's openly said he doesn't like working with Time Warner.
Who cares?
He cares. That's why.
He's kind of the person who matters the most.
Yeah, here. But it's exactly he matters the most. You
and
need
he doesn't
to have want him to on
work
it.
With Time Warner. That's the reason.
If Time Warner,
Sandman became a miniseries instead of an ongoing.
Yeah.
Because but, he doesn't want to work.
If
with
Time Warner,
while we're heaping praise on Neil Gaiman, my favorite episode of Doctor Who is
Neil Gaiman.
Boom. Yeah. If you wanted to legitimize this more, the production company would beg for Gaiman to get on. The project.
I mean, Sin City was so good because they brought in Frank Miller to direct.
Exactly.
If Time, Time Warner, you know, they're a big company. If they get that, they should look, okay, we'll step back creatively. We're just going to throw some money at it. Just give us money back.
It would be good if they did that.
Give us our royalties. Here's some money. It's one of those things.
They should.
It's
working for Disney and Marvel. It's working for Warner Brothers and DC.
Disney is a really good example
of this. And Sony.
Just like, Pixar, you guys are doing great. Here's some money. Do your shit, you know?
Yeah. But Warner Brothers, another example of them dropping the ball on their movie franchise when Sony is jumping full on with their Spider-Man stuff.
Yep.
And Marvel still has, or Disney still has Marvel's franchise. It's just rocking. Do we want to segue to that since we're on movies, the Spider-Man news?
Sure.
Anybody hear about this?
Their Sinister Six.
Sinister Six movie and a Venom movie will be spinning out. Any comments on that? Anything we'd want to see?
Spider-Verse has got enough characters that they could do more.
Original Sinister Six.
Spider-Man and the X-Men, the movies that, the franchises that Marvel doesn't own themselves.
Yeah.
They are X-Men both robust enough to support
a whole set of
their own universes.
So Sony owns both the Spider-Man and X-Men. Will we see that crossover?
I thought Fox owned X-Men.
Do they?
Fox owns X-Men.
Well,
what do we think
Spider-Man
is more likely? The X-Men and Spidey to team up, or Spidey and the Avengers, or which
say
crossover?
Because
that's going to happen eventually.
Here's my thing.
I hope.
I actually like the X-Men's as they are.
Without any
Without them being mixed into the Avengers.
Well, hell, even when I'm reading comics, the X-Men are their own thing.
True. Right. Exactly right.
I'm happy with Fox having the X-Men.
Yeah.
Just stop cranking out every Wolverine movie.
Agreed. Every movie has been a Wolverine movie,
you know,
except First Class.
You know,
but I would be happy to see Spider-Man go back to Disney.
I would also.
The what one? Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. If I had to pick one to go back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe integrated in, Spider-Man.
Well,
I'd pick that every
time. Go a decade down the road and phase three of Disney and Marvel's deal is over. Maybe more than a decade. But they're done and they're on to the next one. Do we see that X-Men Avengers crossover that everyone will want? Because X-Men also news in the X-Men movie universe, Apocalypse is slated for a release already.
You're asking for big wig. Producer types to put aside their egos and
at that point, though,
that's a pretty big assumption.
But after they go through all of these iterations of their huge phases at Marvel and the plan they're starting
up
with the mutants,
do
they go there?
Like in Ultimates versions of the movie.
They said they're going to go through 3-4 phrases.
There is a breaking
before
point.
They call it a day
where
and then start over.
Much can you fit
into 2 hours?
They've openly
said phase 3 would maybe be the end of.
Well, that's why everything's a trilogy now, and then everything's a trilogy of trilogies.
True.
And you could have the X-Men and the Avengers in the same movie.
How many X-Men are we using in the, like the core team?
Seven. You pick seven of each.
You pick the core teams.
That was the big problem with X-Men 3. There's 100 characters, and everybody who saw their favorite character for 30 seconds.
Yeah, I like Colossus. Colossus is one of my favorite X-Men. He's in the movie. He has like 2 lines, and he's in a combined.
You know, his best scene was carrying the TV.
Yeah.
That was his best scene.
And then, at the end, he does the fastball special.
Yeah.
Knew that was coming, though. We knew that was coming.
He does it twice.
He does it in the
he does it at the beginning when they're
room.
In the danger room, and then he does it at the end.
Yeah. Still, we knew it was coming.
I don't know.
All right, let's go back on the X-Men.
Go ahead,
Jules.
Whedon openly said, and Fox said, he wants to do a Kitty and Colossus movie. He would love to do a Kitty movie. Joss Whedon wants to do a Kitty movie.
I'll take Astonishing X-Men,
just
put
Kitty
that on the screen.
Out there, yes,
and Ellen Page says she would do it.
Oh, jeez.
Ellen Page is like, I would love to be in a Kitty Pride movie.
So
another
cool
of my, that's
that.
Two of my favorite X-Men
that's
right
two of my favorite Colossus, and they would want
in
to
no
do...
In no particular order, they're both somewhere in my top 5.
Yeah. Of course. They're amazing.
But Whedon said, because we all know he loved to write him some Kitty and Colossus, that's half that run is just Kitty and Colossus.
You know what I would have loved, and this is like a rumor circulating about, when Disney bought Star Wars, Whedon doing Star Wars.
What?
If he kills, if he doesn't...
Oh, that's right, he has to kill someone.
He'll kill someone. They've killed enough people.
Oh, kill her dad. That's what happened in the comics.
Oh, yeah, that has to kill dad. You kill magic.
Yeah.
You can bring magic in.
Oh, yeah, you can kill magic so many times. You'd love that.
Yeah, you'd love... I can keep killing her? Magic's pretty much a Buffy character anyway. Yeah, like, oh, my God, I got to do this again? Let's do this.
And they've killed so many mutants in the X-Books.
I mean,
or the X movies,
of Buffy,
anyway.
Didn't he kill her, 3 times?
Yes.
All the more, twice in one of them he reneged on.
You can get what's-her-name to play Magic anyways. He hates her.
killing. But I don't
what's
remember.
What's her name? Chick who played Buffy? He hates
Sarah
her.
Michelle
yeah,
Gellar.
Sarah Michelle Gellar. Get her to play magic. Yeah, she kind of looks like magic.
Yeah, she could pull it off. She's in that new magic. Show yeah. with Robin Williams.
Well, my only thing with that yeah. is, like, magic no is supposed, like, her character's, like, nubile, young, like,
yeah. amazingly hot.
Adult.
Yeah, amazingly yeah. hot.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like,
she is amazingly
she's
hot.
She's supposed to be kitty
She's very much an adolescent.
Yes.
Well, now you make me sound like a creep.
I do.
Yeah. I didn't...
You walked into my
She's hot now.
She's
uncanny.
She's an adult.
When she's over 18.
Yeah, yeah. But, like...
Whedon's, that's just disgusting.
Yeah.
My image of magic is always going to be her from Age of Apocalypse, is where yeah. I think of her the most.
Yeah. But what do we think about that? X-Men?
Oh, yeah, Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah, anyway, X-Men, yeah. a movie they announced that they are going to do an Apocalypse movie. What do
I
we
would
think?
Love to see a New Mutants movie.
Is this going to be like they reset time in Days of Future Past?
Yeah, no, they're going to get rid of X-Men 3 never happened.
Yeah, I think they're
going to get rid of wants to kill that movie. That's what I think is doing this movie.
I think all those movies will be gone, even the Wolverine movies.
Here's the thing
Wolverine
that,
has no
that doesn't
cross.
Get me that I don't get. Isn't this how they're supposed to introduce Cable? Shouldn't they just
they
bring
are
him from
Cable.
The future?
Yeah, no, him and Bishop are supposed to come and stop Wolverine or something.
From doing because it makes it even worse.
Because, yeah, it's he's going to make it worse.
Which exactly goes right into
to,
Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah.
But Wolverine has to go... The way they're going to do Wolverine back in time in this new one is he's going to be...
In his old
his persona,
body, yeah,
yeah that, just like
that
in the
way
book,
they get the metal
Kitty Pryde.
Yeah. Yeah, that way they get he gets the metal claws back.
Yeah,
because in the last movie he lost his metal.
Yeah,
claws.
He's bound to bone claws.
Which
here is the reason
I thought was
Age
so weird.
The Apocalypse movie will suck ass.
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, come on, Mark. Give it a little.
No.
Well, Johnny Raincloud
coming. The reason that fans like the Age of Apocalypse because we got to see alternate versions of the X-Men.
Agreed.
Okay, we've been reading those X-Men for 30 years.
Yes.
Okay. X-Men in the movie, okay, we're pretty familiar with Wolverine.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But has any other X-Men character had enough of a limelight for us to get bored
well,
and
they
tired
have,
of the existing character?
Professor X?
I agree with you, but they have a chance. Well, Professor X wasn't even alive in Age of Apocalypse.
I'm sorry,
that's the whole point.
How
relevant is the Age of Apocalypse Cyclops when we know as much as we know about the regular continuity Cyclops?
Storm, maybe.
Storm, definitely. Wolverine, definitely.
It's not Storm's fault that she had the worst script and the worst lines of any character in any movie.
I think if Days of Future Past acts as a good foundation for Age of Apocalypse and does a lot more character building, in the trailers I've seen,
there's a lot of
Iceman, there's a lot of Kitty, there's a lot of characters going on, which, I mean, kind of worries me because they may not get to it. But I think they could pull off Age of Apocalypse if they give you these characters.
Let's take a step back.
Possibly.
Maybe they don't
but
do Age of Apocalypse. Maybe they just do a movie where Apocalypse is the villain.
I don't know if that works.
Yeah.
No.
What's the point of using Apocalypse unless you're
really,
getting into that alternate
future?
That's
all Apocalypse ever
did. Days of Future Past
and
they're announcing the Age of Apocalypse. If Days of the Future Past sets up Age of Apocalypse, what if they do the Age of Apocalypse really... as like a Days of
Future
Past
continuation
part two.
It might have the benefit
and then
of
setting
not...
up this apocalyptic
I agree.
War.
Like it doesn't
that's
work.
That's why Bishop and Cable are supposed to be there.
Boom.
Is because Wolverine going back in the past will create the Age of Apocalypse.
That's Cable's whole stick from
his
origin.
Yes.
The movie
Apocalypse might not suck nearly as much as the comic book Apocalypse. I mean, let's face it.
I liked Age of Apocalypse, the comic.
I liked Age of Apocalypse.
Well, I really dug it.
I loved it because
Apocalypse
Angel doesn't get shat on.
Apocalypse is the stupidest villain ever because he has the same plan every single time.
Agreed.
My four horsemen, and I'll make one of them the X-Men, and then I'll come in, and they'll herald in the whole... Okay, how many times has he tried that now?
Five times. He smokes a lot of opium, too. They make a lot of opium jokes about Apocalypse.
Apparently.
He smokes a lot of opium.
Okay, this
he
is
heard
just
us bashing
stupid.
Kiss.
Oh, yeah, they were bashing Kiss earlier.
What the hell?
Why did you say that? Jesse just showed up.
Jesse
but we're on the X-Men now.
And no good will come of this.
But with not enough time to do the Four Horsemen of Apocalypse, let's hope they realize they don't have enough time to do those guys, maybe the movie Apocalypse wouldn't suck like... Apocalypse does. In
the main pull of Age of Apocalypse was seeing all these alternate versions of characters we like you said.
Seeing Cyclops with
if
Apocalypse.
They don't do that in the Apocalypse movie, there's no reason to do an Apocalypse
being
movie.
A trilogy. That's why
I agree. That's how they'll
and
have to
Age
do
of Apocalypse will be the middle movie. So we won't really get a conclusion
we'll
until
get a
whatever the third movie will be.
House of M.
Well, I think
I would love it.
You can't do House of M without the Avengers.
I won't even
if Larry is right, if Larry is right, and
they own all the mutant rights.
If Larry's right, and the Days of Future Past is nothing more than a setup for the trilogy, then the second movie is going to be nothing but a setup for the third movie. It's a little clunky way to do it, but I think they could really pull it off in a nice way if they did it.
Well, having Cable, the third one would have to be it completely to make it Age
exactly
because the future, the dystopian future that they're coming from, looks more like the Age of Apocalypse characters than it does like the original Days of the Future.
I
want to
see
characters.
Wolverine with one hand. I want to see Righty, good old Righty Wolverine.
Well, okay, and here's the other thing, the bone claws thing that bugs me.
All right, now so you see Wolverine.
He's got the steel claws, they're adamantium claws.
Thank you.
And they're blades. They look like knife blades. They're sharpened. They do not have bone shape to them.
Okay.
And then he gets the adamantium removed, you know, and then there's bone underneath them.
The bone claws heal back once the adamantium claws are out of the way.
So bones are his mutant power, his healing and his boning?
No. His healing factor allows him to evolve further than the normal human being because he doesn't have to deal with the natural progression of dealing with disease.
The adamantium doesn't...
Why doesn't he have two thumbs?
The adamantium...
He doesn't evolve. But
yeah.
He
doesn't evolve. Oh, he does de-evolve at one point.
Well, they threw that in as a thing. The reason that his healing power works with the adamantium is... If you had that much adamantium in your body would reject it.
Yes.
Therefore, his healing factor is constantly keeping that down. So when he has the adamantium removed, his healing factor is like a times 100.
That still doesn't explain the claws.
He always had the bone claws.
He was born with bone claws.
Okay. He always had bone claws.
I don't recommend it, but if you watched X-Men Origins Wolverine...
No, just read Origins. Stop talking.
And he
read the Origins book.
Yeah, and he wasn't the same thing. And he wasn't born. But he wasn't born with bone claws, just like every other mutant. As he hit puberty,
he got older.
He got bone claws.
Once your balls drop,
boom! Once your balls drop, your claws pop.
When
he's got that healing factor,
you're not a mutant.
All right, we're trying to rationalize it, Jules.
Just saying, he was like 7 when he stabs his dad.
We're talking about a human being with a metal skeleton here.
He's not a human being, damn it! He's a mutant. Damn muties!
Well, way to be a racist.
All right, racist.
That still doesn't answer. Why don't the claws look like the bone claws?
Because
why are they looking like blades? Did they remove the bone claws?
They didn't remove the bone claws. During the grafting process,
they sharpened themselves and gave them a beveled edge?
No, those...
In the comic book, they're more like... His bone claws are more like blades. In the movies, you get the fat, like, sausage finger claws.
But
I don't know. The movies don't translate as well, but if you look at the art, they look like blades. Look like
in the retcon...
In the origin story, they look like blades that happen to be bone.
In the Recon Weapon X story, those bones were not removed. They were replaced.
Yes.
And during the grafting process, the bones went away, and then those knife blades went in there, hooked up to the same ligaments and shit like that.
Yeah, because how he can push out the blades. Yeah.
How can Thor have a hammer where it flies around? A hammer? Really? Come on, Larry. Come on, man.
We are kind of getting into the nitpicking.
Yes, man. Yeah.
Don't you nitpick Wolverine, damn it.
But he's got such an easy target because there are a lot of things wrong with Wolverine, dude.
That has bugged me.
No, it's more. It's worthwhile. Like, it's worthwhile bug to have.
That one has always bugged me.
It is a worthwhile
bug. Okay, I
could have
got that. Then when you see him with the bone claws, it just didn't make sense.
When the metal's taken out, then the bones, like,
you know, also I used to be freaked out. How does Cyclops not blow his eyelids off?
His own skin is immune.
Yeah,
he can put his hands up. He's put his hands up already.
There's actual science behind it. His power is
DNA.
He metabolizes UV rays. That's why the red sunglasses work.
Ruby red quartz.
Yes.
Yeah, say it right.
My bad.
Yeah, come on.
The reason.
Okay, if we're introducing physics to superheroes, we're running into a wall here.
Yes. It works for Cyclops, though.
Okay.
No,
because it's metabolizes UV rays.
If he was blasting UV rays, then all you need to fight Cyclops is a mirror.
Yeah, no, and they've done that.
Well, they've done it.
They've done it several times. No, they said his skin's mostly immune.
But what they've said is it's not technically a beam of light. It's actually like, imagine like a Starfleet tractor beam.
Yeah.
In reverse, which Wesley Crusher does create in one episode.
Does create in one episode.
It's kind of like that. It's particles.
When they don't have phases
and energy, but it's more solid than that.
Yeah. It pushes
it's like a repulsor.
Yeah.
But like, come on, Larry.
I got a book one time of the physics of superheroes.
Oh, it's terrible.
I like that book.
No, it's a good book, but it ruins a lot of
it
shit.
It ruins a lot of shit.
Well, like, you can't fly unless you have super strength.
Yep.
He
has a proposition, though, about how, like, usually the stuff they do in comics makes sense to a certain degree if you allow for one exception to the laws of physics.
Yeah.
Like, the Flash, he could do all this shit if he could run this fast. He can't, but if he could.
Well, no, but if he could run that fast, he'd run so fast that the skin would melt off his body, so he needs... So that's what I mean. Flash doesn't
work with the suit.
Because if he's that invulnerable where he can run and his flesh doesn't rip off his bones, then he would be that invulnerable all the time.
Well, in the comic book,
the
suit or his helmet or whatever created some little pocket when he was moving.
There was something to that. The suit.
Yeah, it's a friction.
Talk about why he has the
lightning bolt.
The lightning
bolts.
They did that during the Radio antennas.
Yeah. I think is what it is.
Where Hal Jordan
can't
like,
go without
what's
his...
up with the wing dings?
Yeah,
and he's like, it helps repel the air off me. It's
very
actually
needs
so
his Howard Stern. Is, yeah. Yeah,
but then again, though, if you try to make superheroes too quote unquote realistic. You're fighting a losing battle.
Yeah, you are.
Like, unless you're picking stuff like Batman.
Yeah, okay, like, the guy, actually, Batman's a pretty bad example because he's doing
a lot
Batman
of stuff.
You get
Batman for a year.
He would have died, like, billions of fucking
You get Batman
times
for 6 months.
The cartilage in his bones cannot regrow that fast.
Yeah.
But then, like,
he should not be back out the next night.
Drew a year one. What's his name? And it's, like, a really long name with a lot of syllables. Whatever. He did a little backup feature in the year one talking about
James
how...
James Tinian?
Yeah. No. Starts with an M.
Oh, go ahead.
But anyway, he wrote a thing. The more realism you try to introduce to superheroes, the more you're straining the reader's ability to put aside the absurdity that is at the heart.
Exactly.
Of
it.
Yeah, your ability to suspend that, like,
disbelief. Let's be honest.
Okay, so
a
this is physically
Batman
real, but the rest of this shit I'm supposed
back
to ignore.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that would have killed him. That would have killed
just
him.
Just to pick up a comic,
young
you have
child,
to have
I tried
that
to write a realistic comic book superhero.
It didn't work.
Oh, no. And yeah, he died in the first issue.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that
it's Kick-Ass.
That's it.
Kick-Ass.
I mean, that's pretty much that was about the Kick-Ass, or you get something like the Mystery Man, where they have diffused certain laws of physics, but you kill off tons of characters in that book.
Yeah, yeah. That's good stuff.
Even Kick-Ass, you have to. That's going from physical absurdity to storytelling absurdity. Where why didn't they just shoot him in the fucking head?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's one of those things where any story, not even
a superhero, you can nitpick almost anything.
Yeah, it's like any story you can watch. Any good.
That's part of the
game. College Humor did a series called "What If Movies Had Smartphones?"
5 minutes. 5 minutes.
So, Goonies.
See how
the Goonies last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, where Batman just covers Bane in those poison needles. If I could take these guys out, why didn't I just do this to him?
Yeah. Oh, how it should have ended.
Yeah, how it should have ended. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wait. Yeah, if he had those poison needles, why didn't he use
them? But I guess I'll use them now instead.
Didn't he do that to Bane, like, opening scene?
So X-Men like movie, we're looking forward to X-Men.
Yeah,
movie.
I'm looking forward to Dave.
What else do we want to talk about? Do you want to hit on comics? Rick Remender's Uncanny Avengers.
It was awesome.
New issue out today.
Ragnarok now.
Yeah, I read an article about Rick Remender's plans for this book, and it involves a planet full of mutants and an alternate Marvel universe. He's got some epic plans for this book.
To pull it in, Hickman is letting him write New Avengers for a while.
Yeah, to pull the
Illuminati and what's going to go on in that book.
That'll help.
It'll help a lot.
Other comic news, let's talk Charles Soule.
Oh, yeah, taking over Inhuman. because Matt Fraction is going to be taking care of his little baby girl and little baby boy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Kelly Sue. Kelly Sue's on a hot hand, and he's going to let Kelly Sue play her.
He's
going to
get
hand.
A lot of family-oriented comic book ideas from this,
and good for him.
His run on FF couldn't have
been. You know, you got to have respect for somebody that's making mad money and doing what they do.
Doing what they love to do.
Yeah. And they're willing to step away and still support the family.
That, Matt Fraction's Hawkeye is making dollar bills.
Yes.
So is Satellite Sam. So is Sex Criminals. Matt Fraction is on a hot hand. And it's just not with the properties they should be.
And I'm sure he's way far ahead in that.
Yeah,
in those
and that's why he's probably right taking back.
That's why they didn't want to give him anything new.
No, he's doing better on the more like indie side because Hawkeye, for all intents and purposes, is pretty much an indie book.
Agreed.
That's not it's about so superheroes, really.
Agreed.
So, that's completely in a like isolation chamber from the rest of the Marvel.
It's which something is completely new.
Did anyone ever read Next Wave?
No, Agents of Hate.
Yeah.
No.
Well, Next Wave is also a really weird Marvel book. That was kind of about what wasn't going on when things were hitting the fan.
Yes.
And that's how I feel like Hawkeye. It's really, it's Hawkeye when he's not with
the
Avengers.
I sort of dig those Marvel books that tangent off of what's going on. They had that newspaper book during Civil War.
Oh, yeah, Frontline.
Frontline.
Yeah.
That was a great little look.
Did that with World War Hulk as well.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. But World War Hulk was more superhero-oriented on
Pulse?
Frontline.
Did anybody read The Pulse? I loved The Pulse.
But I'd like to see more... you know what I'd really like to see?
Inventive writing?
I want to see these...
Brian Michael Bendis writing the Avengers when they're not doing anything?
I want to see
pretty much did do that.
That's like, we got 10 years of that.
Yeah, no shit.
But they did too much in that book for him. You can tell he just wanted to be just the slice of life Avengers book.
Well, then it's nothing but Luke Cage and Jessica Jones sitting on the couch watching TV.
Yeah.
I feel like that was covered.
You know, I still want to see Hawkeye teach Captain America how to...
Or something. Yeah.
I want to see Hawkeye teach Captain America how to use instant ramen noodle.
Yeah.
I wanted I felt that was coming in his book.
And there's a place
Cap
for that.
And Hawkeye started to hang out more again.
Yeah, and there's a place for that, but I want to see less of these super catastrophes and more of like regular catastrophes. Like
some like
hurricane helping and earthquake going to, you know, stuff
by
like that.
And large, and they usually shy away from stuff like that.
And they shouldn't have to. There's enough heroes in the Marvel U where they don't have to create these catastrophes.
I think the idea...
Why wouldn't the Fantastic Four show up to help out? Yeah. If they're in the neighborhood and they're
punishing X-Men?
Well, now we're running into a problem.
Where they fight the Godzilla thing by the Mole Man and the Fantastic Four show up and they're like...
If introduced things like them dealing with hurricanes in the Marvel Universe, why didn't Thor just stop the hurricane? Why didn't Storm just stop the hurricane?
Because you know what?
They could make reasons why they're not around.
And they did. Does everyone remember Marvel 9/11?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a powerful book.
Yeah.
I want to see more stuff like that where they're dealing with things that are happening. And, I mean, they got the Black Widow book coming out.
Yeah.
And the Elektra book, that might have more to deal with.
She-Hulk's book.
Black Widow of all those, I'm really looking forward to.
Me too.
I'm
looking for more books on the ground level dealing with stuff that is more relatable than the superheroics. You know, I want to see that spy stuff. I want to see that
ninja
stuff.
The Marvel Universe is big enough where we can have all of this.
We can have
our space faring heroes. We can have...
Yeah. Charles Soule on Inhuman.
I think it's going to be good.
I think it's going to be awesome. I'm now picking it up. He's currently writing Superman, Wonder Woman, Thunderbolts.
Yep.
He's going to be doing She-Hulk. He's doing an indie book called Letter 44, which I can't find anywhere.
Nope.
Send me a free copy if you have one.
Send me one, too.
I'll share mine with Jesse. Okay. Send me one.
For the sake
What other news is there?
Animal Man, Batman, The Dark Knight.
Cancellations over at DC.
Talon are all getting canned.
The most noteworthy thing about all those cancellations, besides Animal Man, because that character is going over to Justice League of Canada.
Which Jeff Lemire is also
Once
writing.
It launches, it's going to be great.
So I can deal with that. That's kind of like how they moved Loki into Young Avengers with Kieran Gillen.
Or straight up Scarlet Spider's moving to the New Warriors.
Same writers. I think that's cool and all, but it's going to cut down a whole lot because in a team title, you know, you don't get that deep, like, character build
but
that you
I
get
think,
in.
Well, yeah, they have to share their screen time.
Yeah.
But the run that Lemire...
Which bums me out because I love Animal Man.
But the run that Lemire has had, he could go other places with it, but I don't think they're as intriguing if Animal Man doesn't hook up with somebody else. Have buddies.
I mean...
Sharing it with
buddy,
him.
Buddy, like, having buddies.
I mean, honestly, buddy needs to hang out with Swamp Thing more again.
Swamp Thing's going to be in the dark, I think.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think Animal Man would be fine as a member, of Justice League Dark and keeping his own book. Because Jeff Lemire writes
Oh, that's yeah, what definitely I think. Did, but I don't, I'm not sure that that would work. Go ahead, Larry, and then I got other comments about the cancellations.
This has nothing related to do with anything. We're talking about realism.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a little more realism or whatever.
Oh, God.
Talk about, one thought occurred to me.
Oh, no.
If Cyclops is drunk and seeing double... Does, and he accidentally lets his lasers fly. Do they go separate ways?
Yeah,
that would be interesting. That's happened. Cross his eyes.
Yeah, like, no, that's happened.
I mean, because your eyes like, don't look straight ahead when you see double. Well, you lose the ability to focus.
If you didn't have the glasses on, yes, but the glasses kind of push everything.
Yeah, it's kind of into one
visor.
No, but yeah, no.
But I mean, has there been an issue where Cyclops has lost his glasses and been like, damn it, I'm drunk, I can't find my keys?
I think every time his eyes shoot without his glasses, they're not really going.
No, it's in just one broad direction.
Yeah, it's just out.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It's in his entire line of sight.
Because the visor helps him focus it to a beam.
To a point. Yeah.
Like, so when he just takes his glasses off, it's just like a mess.
Pretty much everyone's screwed. And,
so
and
it's just, yeah, like, bam, right in 45 degree angle out.
There was a page in Joss Whedon's where he takes out a whole patch of their lawn and a sentinel because they had no other choice and he just took his glasses off.
But it does
and
make
it wipes out a lot.
It does make his power when he does have that on a lot better because it does focus his peripheral into a
sentinel. And it makes it a stronger beam.
Does that make it easy to sneak up on him?
Probably.
Yeah.
You can only see this much.
If we're going to keep nitpicking Cyclops, he would break his neck every time he used his powers.
Thank you. That's exactly where I was going next, but he's always got Emma looking out on his peripherals for him.
No, they talk about during Schism when Wolverine and him fight that he doesn't have a great line of sight. Wolverine comes up from behind him all the time when they're fighting.
But back to the Batman cancellations. Batman, Dark Knight,
well, that's the thing is, those are both Batman things. There's enough Batman books. Yeah.
Batman is obviously not untouchable anymore.
That's what I was going to go.
Batman books got canceled.
That's where I was going to go.
And they extended their reach maybe a little too far when they had 15 Batman books. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I mean...
Are we calling Harley Quinn a Batman book?
Yes, I will call that a Batman book.
Now, I think that's calling it a TNA book.
No, I don't think Harley Quinn's going to focus on that.
Harley Quinn is basically... The whole concept of that book is people love that character. They like to see...
I'm not a big fan of the Bruce Timm. I'm not a big fan of the Court Jester costume. Yeah,
he's ghostly pale. I don't think that's hot. I mean, she's hot, you know, character.
I don't think it's just going to be all sexually, you know. That is the selling force of that book.
I mean, if we were still in the early 90s, man, I mean, you got to look at, I mean, Elektra, what was her main point in the beginning?
I mean, would you say that about Captain Marvel? Captain Marvel? Because up to about 3 or 4 years ago, that was her main role.
Hey.
What is that?
$14.95.
Because up to a few years ago, that was Captain Marvel's only pull.
FYI, that's
the price of her sexuality, and that's changed.
Hey, man, I'm just saying, you find less of that in Marvel than you do.
Hey, agreed. Well,
they put a lot of pants on Marvel.
As many female Harley fans, if not more than male.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
I told you.
Well, that's another thing we can talk about that would take forever. Like, we are seeing some more strong female characters getting strong portrayals now. Yeah. They're not just sex objects anymore. Like, Captain Marvel is probably the best example right
Captain
now.
Marvel.
Black Widow. Drawing Black Widow, she's not just going to be a porn star in a jumpsuit anymore.
That's right. She's awesome.
All of Bendis' run on the Avengers and the solo book Spider-Woman, he made Jessica Drew way cooler than anybody else
Jessica
on that
Drew
team.
Was the most intriguing character on the Triple Agent. Jessica Drew didn't even know. That was a great run.
And so I'm saying, and when
that's
she came
when
back,
that's kind of when I started actually caring about
Skrull Hunter, Spider Woman.
Yes,
was awesome. Which she started working for Sword.
Yeah, but I was going to go with the Batman and Talon. That those Batman books, they are not untouchable. Yeah. You can have a bat book canceled. That fails. And yes, I know there's a lot of them, but when a company is hanging so much of their profit on one family of characters, it's a bumpy road. When two of those books are going away.
I mean, I'm also going to say that, honestly, the whole Batman arcs, like the Batman as a whole, their stories have gone downhill personally in the last year.
You think that's because they're tying together so much?
Financially, you can only milk the average fanboy for so much.
Agreed.
If I'm a hardcore Batman fan... and I have to pick up every Batman book.
Yeah. See, and
I'm
going
to stop reading something else to keep picking up.
And that's what
I personally try to limit myself to one book per character. Yeah.
I like to do the same thing. I was reading Talon for a while. The first arc was very predictable, and then it got bad.
Yeah.
If Talon was still good, I would still be getting it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about
Talon. And that's my thing about them canceling books. They cancel books when the numbers get low, and they're like, nah, but now where does Talon go? Because he's an intriguing character.
He's a
very interesting character.
I
would be awesome to see him on a team. On a team. That
I
would
think
be,
he's going
to
be there.
It would make sense
candidate.
For him to leave U.S. and go to Canada.
Yeah, I think,
yeah. That'd get him out of...
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. Get out of Gotham and get everything.
Batman seems like the CSI of comic books.
Agreed. You can have CSI.
I mean, it's just, there's 10 million spinoffs.
Yeah,
or Law & Order, you know.
Or every show.
It's just gotta die, you know.
Yeah.
Like from now on, we should just describe all cop shows as, you know, that cop show, because they're pretty much all the same.
Is anyone reading Batman?
I'm reading the main Batman.
The year one stuff?
Yeah.
Did you like
year
the last?
Zero year.
Oh, yeah, zero year.
It's okay.
The last issue was terrible.
I haven't read the last one.
It does bug me that all the covers look alike.
Oh, man, it was terrible.
It's so lazy. It's so lazy because you have Greg Capullo doing the art, who is capable of drawing some of the coolest covers, which he did in the first 20 issues of that book.
Yeah. That book.
Maybe my biggest issue with it right now is it's kind of, it seems, maybe it just seems relatively like a low point because Court of Owls and Death of the Family were both really good.
Yeah. Well, the build up to the first part of Zero Year was great.
It was good.
With the Riddler and stuff like that. Now it seems like it is taking a decade for a hurricane to hit.
Yeah.
And Batman is fighting all of these people as Bruce Wayne, and I'm just not enjoying it
at the
all.
Moment, I feel like he's trying to throw in too many
hooks
into like his past. Like, actually, Jim Gordon's an asshole to Bruce Wayne.
And he was. And it's fine. And here's your jacket. That was weird.
Jacket.
It was his shacket.
And on that
also,
note,
okay,
we
young
have
Bruce Wayne is having way too much going on when he's like a little child.
Yeah. Yes, dude.
Like, he investigated the Court of Owls. And
it's just.
He put together Jim Gordon's.
I couldn't help but.
Not really. I mean, that's like.
Yeah, well, let me just...
And that is time. I did see Anchorman 2. If you liked Anchorman 1, you'll like this one about 75% as well.
Boo.
It is worth watching. You don't need to see it in the theaters.
Yeah.
Some great cameos, though.
Awesome.
Well, we were saying earlier, like, 75% of Anchorman 1 describes entire...
Before we go, let me say goodnight, Elaine.
Oh, dang.
I was trying to run out. I was like, they're not going to do it. I got it right now.
I was going to take the
ball. And see how Christian's not here.
And since Christian's not here, Larry got to do it. Oh, yeah, goodnight, Kobe.
Is that a thing?
Check out
OutrightGeekery.com,
Facebook and Twitter.
Weekly Regs.
On the YouTube.
We're trying to sell out. Give us money someday. Not right now, though, because we're not trying to make money off anything.
I mean, if you guys just
don't give us money right now.
To my PayPal, you guys are welcome to
do that.
Or a copy of
Download This Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
on iTunes.
We're on iTunes.
Yeah,
we made it big.
Check us out on iTunes.
Give us a search. Yeah. And we'll be back on Tuesday next week.
Tuesday next week early for the Christmas episode.
For the Christmas special. Larry will not be here.
But we will be here
talking about Larry.
We will have a show.
It's the Larry rant without Larry Christmas special.
Maybe we'll get Christian in here doing his Larry impersonation.
Yeah.
What's up?
Gingerbread.
All right,
that's it.
That's all we got.
Okay, bye.